Brand Storytelling, Showmanship, and Salesmanship by Tom Fishburne. We don't just want an ad, we want brand storytelling. Deep narratives, emotional connection, values-driven authenticity. What story would you like to tell? Well, we're 50% off for a limited time. Yes, 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 yes. So let's hear this. Brand storytelling is one of the most wildly overused and least understood buzzwords of marketing. It's often casually used without discretion to describe just about any type of marketing communication. And he visited Portland Studio of Character, Jim Hardison, Dave Altschul, and they said that good storytelling is based on conflict. You need a villain. Conflict is the engine that makes the story go. A story that doesn't start until a conflict begins and doesn't end until it's over. The first step in articulating your brand story is to get a handle on the conflicts that drive it. Okay? Does that make sense? Jeez, I didn't comb my hair so good. I just got my hair cut, so it's really good looking today. But I noticed I hadn't combed it up. Okay, so Orlando Wood from System One and Les Burnett talked with Tom Fishburne, and Orlando said there's showmanship and there's salesmanship. And Burnett said 60% of the advertising spend should be placed in brand building, the show, and 40% in performance marketing, the sale. Okay, but the problem is, Les said, we want to do both jobs at the same time. Brands make the mistake of trying to do the brand stuff at the point of purchase. Here's a good example. Would you like some branded content with that? Well, the brand is to smile, right? Be nice. And here's one. Daddy, instead of a story, can you read me some branded content? I have no idea what that one. I never did understand that one. And here is decisions, long-term brand building with no clear impact on sales, or short-term performance marketing that devalues the brand. And that's what I see in most marketing. I see one or the other. We're going to have a sale, or we're going to do something that has no measurement, no connection with sales at all. We won't know if it worked or it didn't work. I think that agencies lean more toward the long-term brand building because they can be creative without any accountability. And marketers tend to be more short-term than CEOs and CFOs because they want to push the needle, right? They have incentives for that. Can we do both? Which brings me to the main part of my story today. And here it is. Dun, ta-da! After a seven-year absence, J. Crew brings back physical catalogs. What are they thinking? And this is from Fortune magazine, so it's big time. And there was an article in People, there was an article in a bunch of places, just a bunch. So J. Crew filed for bankruptcy in 2020. And remember that they discontinued their catalog in 2017. Did it save them? No, that drove them into bankruptcy. And to be honest, when I saw this story, I thought to myself that this was the J. Jill catalog. Okay, and the J. Jill catalog, oops, that's the J. Crew catalog. The J. Jill catalog is one that got canned, and they had a CEO that got canned because of it. Then they got a temporary CEO that got canned because of it. And I did a number of stories on J. Jill. Okay. And J. Jill has brought their paper catalog back, believe it or not. I went and checked it out. It's on their website. You can sign up and get a copy. But this is not J. Jill. This is J. Crew. I don't think there's any connection between the two. I have no idea, really. Neither have been a client of mine. But anyway, the new J. Crew catalog has Demi Moore on the cover, who I understand has a collection of vintage J. Crew wear. And that's part of why she's there, because she's been a longtime fan of J. Crew. And so the company believes that this is going to harken back to nostalgia. And this was kind of a piece together article. I don't think it was really great. Instead of like 13 catalogs, they're going to do 3, which I think makes a lot of sense. And you can repeat mail. And you know what happens with repeat mail? People pass it along and give it to their friends. Back in the early, early days of computers, one of the first things we tried to do was make sure that nobody got more than one catalog at a time. And partly because we got a lot of complaints about it. And so we tested it. And we tested, you know, it seemed like so obvious that it was better to mail a new household than it was to mail 2 or 3 catalogs to the same household. And that would happen because we would rent multiple mailing lists and a person would appear on all 3. So if we just left it to itself, it would go whoosh out and 3 catalogs would show up on the same day in the same mailbox. And so everybody said, well, you're not going to get three times more orders from those 3-time catalogs. So let's make sure that we don't do that anymore, and we'll mail somebody else who only appeared on one of the mailing lists. We'll mail them a catalog. So we get 3 shots at 3 different households of getting an order, rather than trying to mail the same household 3 times. And what happened was I never saw in those tests any validity to that assumption. Because what really happened, my hypothesis, is that the person that's on 3 different lists that we were renting, thinking that they were target lists of ours, that they were target, they would hit our market, the person that's in there 3 times is a way better prospect for our catalog and our merchandise than is the person that only appears once, right? Most of those were one-time buyers for that, even for that catalog. Whereas the 3-time buyer is really a catalog buyer probably, because we were probably mainly mailing response lists. And they, when they got several of them, knew that they could give some away, and they did. And those people who were handed a catalog by their friend, their influencer, their mensch, said, oh, this must be a good catalog. I'm going to buy from this. And away they did. And so we always got just as many orders from mailing multiples to the same household that we did from mailing no multiples and the same quantity. And later, what I decided to do was, instead of having them all hit at the same day, I would delay them 2 weeks. So I would take the multis out, mail everybody 1 catalog, and 2 weeks later mail the 2-time multis a second catalog, or the 3-time multis 2, and 4 weeks later another catalog. Get a little more sophisticated. And that worked really, really well. Never did net name agreements. Those were the best names in terms of the non-customers, the rented lists. Okay, so anyway, they're just going to do 3 times a year, and J. Crew is betting that having something in their hands works better than digital. We'll see, right? But we know that I did check. J. Jill's stock has been up like a 52% or something in the last 5 years, or 152%, and you know, and they've had the catalog back. So the catalog companies that have stuck with their catalogs have weathered the storm, the digital storm, the Land's Ends and the L.L. Beans. But here's an excellent article. Brendan Babenzian talks about why they really brought it back. And he says, having something in your hand is big. And these are catalog covers from the 90s. I don't like type over image, especially over the face. But, you know, they were breaking a lot of rules. And he talks about why he likes it. And it's an excellent, excellent article. But we're not going to read it all for you. If you want the article, go to wdma.org, And you have to subscribe, at least, which is free. Or you can join and support our work, which has been a little light lately, I admit. But Feroz renewed today, so thank you for that, Feroz. And he's working with an excellent printer company.